Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, good morning, everybody. Bill Handel here and the morning crew on a Thursday morning, October 21. Boy, there's some news out there floating around. First of all, the Dodgers lost to the Braves last night, 9-2 in game 4 of the championship series. So it may just end up being over tonight. And LA City Council member Mark Redley Thomas has been suspended. They tossed him out of the council pending what is going to happen. So no pay for you. And he pled not guilty to federal bribery and conspiracy charges yesterday. Steve Gregory, who has been covering this, will join us at 8 o'clock and cover what's happening. I've been texting Steve for the last day or two, and he keeps on going, I'm busy. Now I'm covering this. So we'll see what Steve has to say on this one. And the news on the Brian Laundrie case has taken a turn. The authorities, actually, well, I'm going to talk about who actually found it, his belongings. There were some artifacts, belongings that he had that they knew were his. And then there were a part of a body found or human remains, as they're described, partial human remains. Jim Ryan, ABC News correspondent, has been covering the story. Jim, good morning.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Yeah, so let me start with partial remains. What comes to mind is, a plate of eaten ribs at Tony Roma's after you finished. And is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
Well, possibly. Consider that these remains, and we don't know specifically what was found, but had been exposed to the elements for some time. They may have been underwater for some time. There are animals out there, so it's really hard to tell what exactly that might entail. But suffice it to say that they do believe that these are human remains. We don't know that even for sure yet, much less whose remains they might be, but the suspicion, at least according to the attorney for Brian Laundrie's parents, Chris and Roberta, is that they are, in fact, the body of their son.
Yeah. Now, this gets a little strange, too, because the belongings, do we know with any specificity exactly what those belongings were?
A backpack, a notebook, a dry bag, something that's intended to be used, at camping, this sort of thing. These are the items that were discovered. By, not the FBI, after weeks of searching in that area, not by the sheriff's department or local police, but by the parents of Brian Laundrie.
Yeah, how weird is that?
Yeah, again, though, I mean, this area, according to the FBI, had been underwater for some time. The area's been blocked off from the public for almost a month now. Nobody's been allowed in except law enforcement. They've done several searches. But again, the water only now has receded enough that some things could be found. So, I think that's the explanation there, at least we're hearing from the FBI.
Yeah, I get that. But here you have, and I don't know how many, probably in the thousands, but let's say hundreds of people out there looking. You have law enforcement agencies, you probably have rescue teams, et cetera, that are going out there, search and rescue groups, and his parents. Mm-hmm. End up going right there. Here are his belongings. Is anybody talking about how weird and strange that is?
I think everybody's talking about that.
No, but I mean, in terms of the authorities saying, this is like too bizarre.
I think they recognize that. They see the paradox that's happening here, and that the parents are the ones, they aren't professional searchers or law enforcers, anybody, and yet they're the ones walking along this path. And Chris, they had an FBI agent with them, Bill. So Chris and Roberta Laundrie are walking along this pathway that goes through the forest, this swampy area there. And Chris kind of wanders off some distance away from that path, and he's the one who made this discovery. It's said that he did pick the item up, whatever this was, I think it was the backpack, and yelled over to the FBI agent, who said, okay, and tagged it. So the FBI was with them,
all right,
but not necessarily right with them.
Yeah, so it could be a coincidence. It just doesn't, it just seems very strange. Also, the proximity of the remains to the backpack, is it clear that whoever owned those belongings belong to the person who's partially decomposed there?
No, I don't know the distance that they were from each other, but they were apparently kind of in the same area. Alongside is what the attorney
said. Yeah, well, that's pretty close. I mean, it's we've been hearing, and we often hear this, where the buzz among the authorities is, this is basically it, but we have to confirm it first. We have to determine that it is human remains.
Sure.
Oh, that's pretty easy to tell if there's enough of them.
Yeah, potentially. But here's something else to consider in this. During the course of the investigation of Gabby Petito's disappearance and subsequent discovery of her body, and now the search for Brian Laundrie and the potential discovery of his body, police have found five other bodies out there. They've cleared up essentially five missing persons cases. They don't know the precise causes on all these people, or whether they were killed or suicides or just died, but they've found five other bodies out there. So they want to be absolutely sure that what they're looking at here, that these are the remains of Brian Laundrie and not somebody else. Because, I mean, five bodies have been found in the course of this thing.
Wow. All right. Interesting Crazy. Stuff. When are we going to get any confirmation of any kind? The authorities gave us an indication?
It'd be at least a week. A week and possibly two. But, so the FBI now is swarming back out there into the Carlton Reserve there to look for more evidence, maybe more human remains from that same site. But, it's going to be some time at least.
All right, Jim. Thanks much.
All right.
Always appreciated. Coming up, the fight to lower drug prices, or have at least the government negotiate with the big pharma to control drug prices. That fight has been going on for, almost basically as long as I've been involved in that fight, at least verbally. And I'll explain that to you, what's going on, because it was a central point in the Biden's new agenda. And what happened? Well, let's talk about that and your chance to win $1,000 for this hour. This is KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Jennifer Jones Lee. Welcome back, everybody. Bill Handel here and the Morning Crew. It's Thursday, October 21. And the Dodgers, big story. Dodgers lost last night, game four. So, tonight is game five. We'll see if the Dodgers make it or break it. And, before we get into the FDA real quickly and then the campaign to control drug prices, here's your chance to put some serious money in your pocket.
KFI has your chance to win $1,000.
Text the nationwide keyword
WORK, W-O-R-K,
to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info.
Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
That's WORK to 200-200.
And if you win, you'll get a call from a number you don't recognize, which you must answer. And if you don't win this hour, you got next hour 14 times a day, every weekday from 5:20 a.m. to 7:20 p.m. or between those hours. And we do it once an hour. The FDA has approved the mixing of vaccines with Moderna and J&J boosters. So it's pick and choose, right? It's good news. So you're going to see the boosters going out across, literally across the country, and we'll see what happens with the numbers. There's another thing that's going on. As you know, the Biden administration is getting very close to a compromise, not only with the Republicans, but the Democrats themselves, both in the House and the Senate, particularly the House, in terms of this $3.5 trillion safety net program, social program. That's part of the Biden agenda, which incidentally, $3.5 trillion, no one ever thought was going to happen. It's now between $1.7 and $1.9 trillion. It is dropping like crazy. And effectively, the Republicans are going to be pretty happy with it. It's the Democrats, it's the progressive Democrats that are having such a tough time with so much of the agenda has to be given up. For example, junior college, free tuition, gone. The other thing that's a big part of the Biden agenda is controlling drug prices, having the federal government actually be able to negotiate drug prices. So let me tell you about a Democratic Senate chairman and the Special Committee on Aging. And he said, we have to confront what's called a crisis of affordability for prescription drugs. And out of the committee, he suggested, and the committee said, allow the government to negotiate better deals for critical medications. And that's Senator David Pryor of Arkansas. Bet you haven't heard of Senator David Pryor, did you? Because this was 1989 when the special committee came out with this suggestion. And it started that drive. Government drug price negotiations has been embraced. Two generations of Democrats, a Republican president, Donald Trump, wanted this to happen. And it was part of this agenda. It was part of this trillion-dollar, multi-trillion-dollar package. And guess what? It's disappearing. It's disappearing. Why? Because of Big Pharma. The number of lobbyists that the pharmaceutical companies have, 1,500 paid lobbyists. Probably one of the most powerful lobbying organizations in the country representing any kind of an industry is Big Pharma. And they're saying, nope, we are not going to have the government negotiate, even though that's probably the most powerful negotiating tool that exists. Now, keep in mind, for those of you who agree with that and Big Pharma, and why do they do that? We don't want the government getting involved. This is socialism. People are not going to have the drugs that they need and want. You can't touch us because if you lower the prices, I mean, that literally what they're saying, if you pay less money for drugs, you're going to be worse off. And they've done everything they can. Well, you see these commercials, AstraZeneca product. If you can't afford this this medication, AstraZeneca may be able to help you. I mean, they're doing everything they can to make sure that the government never gets involved in negotiating prices like virtually every other country in the world, which is why, by the way, in those countries, the medication that we pay $100 for costs $10 or $20. And it is working. It is working. They've got it. And what I think is so hilarious is the fact that every one of these lobbyists and every one of these legislators, both Democratic, Republican, and the senators, Congress people, they all go on Medicare when they're 65. And guess what? The government negotiates the prices for everything except for pharmaceuticals. The pharmaceutical lobby has been able to exempt Big Pharma from governmental negotiating power. Hey, it's okay for you to negotiate with the hospitals and the doctors and the manufacturers of medical equipment. That the government can do, but not drugs. You can't touch the drugs. We, the pharmaceutical companies, we will determine what the price is because this is capitalism. This is a free market system. But wait a minute. You've got the patent. There is nobody else selling your drug. Hey, welcome to America. Now, should they be able to make a profit? Yeah, but when it comes to medical care, there has to be some kind of a compromise here. You can't have a purely monopolistic system. You can't do that, or a purely capitalistic system. But at the same time, you have to give them incentives to move forward. It's really complicated. I'll tell you the way the rest of the world does it. It's real simple. They negotiate. You know, National Health and somebody from the government sits down with Merck or Eli Lilly or Johnson & Johnson, says, okay, you got this drug. Let's start talking. Now, I've got 320 million customers, potential customers here. What are you going to charge? And they just sit across a table and they do horse trading. Actually, it's not horses. It's anyway. So the point is that this part of the Biden agenda, he's going to have to give up. Because the pharmaceutical companies have too much influence on too many senators and House members, and it's going to have to go another round sometime down the hill. And it's a shame, too. Because, I mean, this fight's been going on, what, since 1989? Is it going to go away? No? Is it going to happen? I don't know. I thought this would have been probably the closest we would have come to having a governmental negotiating power. Mm-mm, not this time around. Coming up, let's start talking about what this agenda is like, because the compromise is coming, and a couple things about Joe Biden. He's sort of been kind of, we'll do this, maybe we'll do that. Very broad strokes. Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty, and I'll dive into that when we come back. KFI AM 640, and let's check in with Jennifer Jones Lee. And good morning, everybody. Bill Handel here, and the morning crew on a Thursday morning, October 21. Some of the big news stories that we are covering: the Dodgers lost to the Braves in game 4 of the championship series, and now they're down 3-1. Today is, either the final game or the Dodgers are still alive. We'll find that out. And Brian Laundrie's his backpack, and I think as we talked to Jim Ryan this morning, sort of a dry bag. I mean, some items that belong to Brian Laundrie were found in that reserve that they were looking for him, and some human remains alongside is the quote. So that's a huge story. It looks like this thing may be coming to a head. All right. Now I want to move on to what's going on with the Biden agenda. And that is the looks like the compromise. We're right on the very edge of announcing, or they're on the very edge of announcing, that we have a deal. Not in terms of the infrastructure bill. That one's pretty well put to bed. But the Democrats wanted to connect the infrastructure bill to the Biden agenda, that $3.5 trillion safety net program. And the Republicans and some Democrats said that's never going to happen. We're not going to spend $3.5 trillion. It's just way too much money. And so now the horse trading started. And Biden had to give up a couple of big issues that he was pretty adamant about, one of them being free tuition, junior colleges, two-year colleges. That's done. He's staying with the pre-K education because, as he said, if you have to choose between one or the other, you go for the pre-K education, free pre-K education. Why? Because that has a bigger impact. That actually does more for society and the kids than would free tuition help people that are wanting to go to college. And although I have to say, junior college is pretty cheap stuff, and you can borrow money really, really easily. So I don't quite know why it's such a big deal, because it's so inexpensive and subsidized anyway. The other issue that I just talked about the last segment is a basic tenet of the Biden agenda is governmental negotiation with big pharma for drugs. Basically Medicare negotiations, but in the drug world. That's going to be gone because Republicans are fighting it way too hard, and Big Pharma has way too much power. 1,500 lobbyists, probably the biggest group of lobbyists of any industry. And the president now is actually, everybody's taking him seriously, because now his involvement in the minutia of this is really coming together. Up to this point, his own people were frustrated because he didn't really dive into it. He just gave it generalities. He just said, this is what I want to do, and didn't really go into the negotiations, the minutiae. He's now doing that. This week, he's getting specific. He's going into details. He's had private meetings with members of Congress. He's outlined trade-offs. He's floated the idea, for example, of giving seniors the debit card with $800 to spend on dental benefits as part of the expansion of Medicare. Not going to happen. He revealed that he's feeling pressure from his wife, who teaches at a local community college, to push for spending on higher education. That's not going to happen. And what he is doing is now sitting down and really negotiating. And it's no longer aspirational. It is now the nuts and bolts of this particular bill. Is it going to happen? It is going to happen. He has already agreed, instead of the $3.5 trillion, which incidentally, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and crowd wanted $6 trillion or $7 trillion, and $3.5 trillion was their compromise going halfway. Give me a break. Now the president has agreed between $1.7 and $1.9 trillion. I think that's close enough for a deal to be struck. And people who were in on some of these meetings It said this: the president has actually sat down with Congress folks and senators and went around the room to ask these lawmakers, what are the most important issues to you? Let's talk about this. He is now parsing and getting the opinion and the input from members of Congress. This is what he's known to do. The guy is a negotiator. I mean, he was in the Senate for, 35 years or 30 years. I mean, this is what he does. And we're going to get ourselves a deal. The child tax credit, which is a very big deal, which actually halved the child poverty this year, literally cut it in half, that Biden wanted permanent. It's probably going to be extended for only 1 year. So this is what legislation is about. And then the bigger picture is the United States prepared to go down this social safety net network, safety net philosophy, where we either go to this is the land of opportunity. You do it yourself. And you have all the opportunity and we're not going to help you very much. Or we're here to help you. And if you can't make it, we're there because that's what a country does. Depends on which way you want to go. And it's like anything else. It goes in cycles. We've gone from a very conservative approach under Donald Trump, where corporations reduce taxes, where wealthy people get more they get more of their income because it's not taxed away, to the other side of the coin. Although I want to point something out, Donald Trump was pushing very hard to get the government to negotiate prices, Medicare prices from Big Pharma, and he couldn't do it. And this was a president who got a lot of things done that he wanted to get done. He couldn't do it at all. Coming up. Oh, this is a fun one. Okay. You're driving down the street and all of a sudden you hear the siren and there's the ambulance or the fire truck zipping past you. Lights just going crazy. The siren going nuts. It's loud. You stop, you pull over. You know, all of that may be a complete waste of time. I'll share that story with you when we come back. This is KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Jennifer. And good morning, Bill Handel, Morning Crew, October 21st on a Thursday. The Dodgers, well, they lost last night. That's not good news. They're now down 3-1 in the championship series. L.A. City Council member Mark Ridley Thomas has been suspended without pay. And we'll talk to Steve Gregory just at the top of the hour next segment because he was there at the arraignment. He's been following the story. And then I want to share with you, this just crossed my desk, and I just thought this was just a great topic, just fascinating. And it has to do with emergency sirens and the lights flashing on emergency vehicles. And here is a little bit of history. The Dalmatian that you put the Dalmatian on a fire truck, and that is the poster child of what fire truck should be like. It's just part and parcel of the whole image of firefighting. You know where the Dalmatians came from? They actually did use Dalmatians prior to the advent of the motorized vehicles. And Dalmatians were actually used to warn pedestrians to stay clear of the horse-drawn firefighting equipment, the carriages. And they just had a particularly loud bark, and they were trained to do that. And now, of course, they're just it literally is just a statement and a vision that you have. I just think it's hilarious. Let me go on and actually get into this story. And that has to do with sirens and lights flashing on emergency vehicles. There have actually been a dozen studies done on this, more than a dozen, about the response time. Because why do you have a siren? Why do you have the lights flashing? Well, so you can be told, get the hell out of the way. They blow through red lights, which they should. And it's all about saving time, right? It really isn't. These dozen studies have estimated that the responses literally shave 42 seconds to 3 minutes off the time of any call. And there was a study just came out from Salt Lake City, and they looked at the responses from the 1990s, go figure. And the difference between the hot calls, lights and sirens on, and cold calls, no lights or sirens, amounted to an average of 26 seconds difference. And it turns out, according to the medical director of one of the major ambulance groups, says most of the things that are time dependent are really a very tiny minority of the calls. Other than in the case of heart attacks, it really doesn't make much difference at all. Now, in certain scenarios, sirens can be useful, getting through red lights, stop sign, but let's look at the negative for a moment, and I'm going to tell you a really neat story, a factoid that you're going to go, wow, that's great. All right. First of all, they can be harmful to responders, people who are in the vehicles that are driving with the sirens going, which is why now you see the fire trucks and you see the fire firefighters inside, and they wear the earmuffs. They wear the headsets, and they muffle out sound. Okay, so that helps. Before that, they didn't. And firefighters and police, mainly firefighters, ambulance drivers, had a real problem with hearing loss. A little better today, a lot better because of the protective equipment. So that's one. Also, stress from the noise itself, and they're delineating. And then the issue of you got these cars and these trucks and ambulances going through really fast through traffic, and the number of people who have died. It's estimated by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, average of 4,500 accidents every year from 1992 to 2011. They're looking back at this. 33 deaths and 2,600 people injured each year. I'm talking about the first responders, people in the ambulances and the fire trucks. And so here's why the argument is we don't need sirens anymore. Because even though they, at one time you had to have as fast a response, but these were times when, for example, defibrillators weren't available. And now they are on every ambulance and medical equipment that saves people's lives. So you don't need that much time saved. And it only saves a few seconds anyway. So what's the best reason for having sirens? And these are the studies, by the way, that pointed this out. And I thought this was wonderful because I wanted to share this with you. The best reason for having sirens on those vehicles, and particularly we're talking about volunteer departments. That's where they really nailed it, because a lot of small towns and villages and counties have volunteer fire departments, volunteer ambulance drivers, because it's just not big enough for a professional department. And so why would they keep that? Because it really helps get people to volunteer, and it really helps retain volunteers. And you know why? Because these volunteers just think it's neat to drive down the street in a fire truck or an ambulance with the lights flashing and the sirens going and cars pulling over. They just think it's neat. It's a rush. And so the number one reason for keeping the sirens, the lights, is because people just enjoy it. Also, it can be kind of dangerous for us. I'll tell you what else. Do you know what people do? And one of the studies showed this, how come it can be, it's gotten much, much more dangerous. Because what people do now is they literally, instead of pulling over, they'll just stop. And the ambulance has to go around them. I've noticed that, where people are just not as cooperative with the law. You know, you see a siren, but you hear a siren behind you. You see the lights flash. You pull over to the right as quickly as possible and hope that you don't hear a loudspeaker blaring at you, get out of the car or pull over. Then you know it's not good news. But that was kind of a fun study. I enjoyed that. It really is. So if you want to be a firefighter, you want to be an EMT guy or gal, then we give you sirens and we give you lights. How about that? Coming up, Steve Gregory with the Mark Ridley Thomas story. That's right here on KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio dial.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.